Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Coming up on today's wrestling news is a top star set for a surprise Survivor Series return. A WWE star was buried hard on last night's Monday Night Raw. WWE have finally killed the worst gimmick in wrestling, and Triple H sees this WWE star as a personal project. I'm Adam Wilborn.
I'm Michael Hamflett.
And this is the news. So yes, we are just days away from Survivor Series. Me and him are going to be doing a live stream for it on Saturday night, so do join us for that one. There may well be jelly involved, that's all jelly. I'm saying. But yes, there could well be a Survivor Series surprise in store for us. Last night on Raw, Bianca Belair teased who the final member of her team could be and then got, well, booed quite a lot when she revealed it was only going to be revealed on SmackDown. But now Fightful Select, no crap, just Sap, Sean Ross Sap of Fightful Select have come through with a very interesting report suggesting it could well be Becky Lynch making a return at Survivor Series. She's obviously been out for the last, 4 months or so, injuring herself, suffering a separated shoulder, wrestling Bianca Belair at SummerSlam, of course. But Fightful Select writes that Lynch will be back in WWE sooner rather than later, with the promotion, quote, discussing and planning the multi-time champ as a potential War Games entrance. Didn't see this one coming.
No. WWE have done an all right job, I guess, of setting up two or three potential people that would fit narratively quite nicely into the babyface team at War Games. Becky Lynch is one of those people. Mm. She was last seen getting decked by Damage Katara the night after SummerSlam. So they've got a storyline driver for her to want to return in this situation. It just didn't seem like this would be the destination. She's this massive major star. The WrestleMania match with Ronda Rousey seems likely. Yeah. So the Royal Rumble felt likely. So this, not that this would be a bad thing at all.
No.
It just sort of preempts, I guess, our expectations collectively for the Becky Lynch return. There are other people lined up that made just as much sense as Lynch, but it felt like Survivor Series would be more of a landing spot for them.
I mean, Survivor Series, you expect big things anyway, and we're going to speculate a little bit later on the Twitter questions as to who the final entrant in that team could be if it's not a Becky Lynch, for example. We expect big things, obviously. It's a big four pay-per-view, but you and I were just discussing in the office the fact that WWE announced a press conference following Survivor Series, which is so unique and has never been done before by any other wrestling promotion, makes you think that something even bigger than, you know, just the normal matches is going to happen.
Yeah, it just feels like the visual probably they want from the press conference is not, for example, a post Clash at the Castle love fest where everybody slaps each other on the back, but indeed the image of Triple H sat alongside this big star, this big name. Like, it screams thumbnail potential, doesn't it?
Exactly.
As well we know sometimes. And it just feels like they want to create a talking point or immediately get on top of the conversation that's going to follow right after the show goes off the air. Unless it's something they want to set off going, that would be the best way to kick this new, like, tradition they might want to be trying to set up.
Yeah.
Something that AEW has been able to benefit from. Not always, but like, typically the post pay-per-view press conference generates stories after the stories. Mm. So, you know, stands to reason WWE would want to launch that in a big way.
More on the brawl out, fallout in a little while as well.
I didn't know you were referring to that.
But let's talk about Mustafa Ali. It's a bad time to be that guy, unfortunately. He's got bruised ribs. He's just been knocked out of the World Cup by Ricochet, of course, on SmackDown in a really enjoyable match. And then he got his ass handed to him again last night. I mean, I don't know whether it was because, Ali's just sort of stuck together with tape right now. I thought Austin Theory looked huge on last night's Raw. He decked him, beat him in a match, a town down, simple stuff like that. But along with all this, we now know that Seth Rollins is going to be defending the United States Championship in a triple threat match against Theory, Austin Theory that is, and Bobby Lashley at Survivor Series. And after the match, Lashley gets into it with Theory, jaw-jacking on the mic. He sort of goes, I beat the crap out of this twat too regarding Mustafa Ali. And as if that couldn't get any worse for Ali.
Yeah.
So Lashley and Theory get into it. Brawl. Theory gets chased to the back. Goes, oh, bloody hell, let me throw something at him. There's Ali just going, oh, bloody hell, I'm in a bit of a bad way.
Yeah.
So Theory throws Ali at Lashley, who goes, oh, never mind about Theory. I'm going to kick the crap out of Ali. And he chucked him back through Gorilla, back out into the entranceway, chucked him into the screen, beat him up again. It's a bad time to be Ali. He has won just one match on Raw since June. Do you think this is part of a bigger story, or is this just a real punishment for you? You want to try and leave the bloody company?
I don't know, man. It's not great, though. I think there will be some people that will race to WWE's defence here and say, look, he's featured. He should be bloody grateful to be on television. And they wouldn't feature him if they weren't going to use him long term. Look, elements of that may be true. There may be something where Ali finally kicks out of the situation that he's in and goes on this great run. And maybe, like, I'm talking ultimate optimism here. There's a WrestleMania program centered around the fact that he had to pick himself up from the very, very bottom, scraped himself off the bottom of the barrel. But wrestling's not real. You don't need to attach people so steadfast to the bottom of the barrel in the first place. It's so often that a losing streak gimmick, instead of it being about the story after they turn it around, it's just left with the taste of being a loser in the eyes of the fans. There's nothing worse. Well, there's one thing worse than being a loser in your own storyline. It's being a loser in a storyline that isn't even yours. That's what's happening at the moment. You know, typically at this time of year, after Survivor Series, it would be TLC. I know Triple H is doing away with the gimmicked pay-per-views, and there's not one this year. It would be convenient how a wrestler would throw a ladder or a table or a chair at, like,
or stairs.
And they would suddenly do that every single week in the run-up to TLC. This is happening to Mustafa Ali. He's suddenly a gimmicked weapon in somebody else's feud. It's not to say that the sky is completely falling around him, but I just think you have to tread very carefully with quite how much you bury somebody, because a lot of fans never forget.
Yeah, I may be a bit of a blind optimist on this one, because I think there is a bigger story going on. I think, having watched what they've done with Austin Theory and how they've turned it around with him in recent weeks, I think Triple H has got a plan for Ali. I think he's insanely talented, obviously. He was meant to be in the role of Kofi Kingston, let's not forget, for Kofi Mania. How was it, injuries, I think it was, that took him out of that?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So I think there's a bigger thing here, and I talked to Sig about this on the SmackDown preview, saying I thought he was going to lose against Ricochet. Mm-hmm. I think he's getting his ass handed to himself every week. So he spirals down and down. I think he's going to snap. I think he's had stables in the past. And he was a SmackDown hacker, just chuck that in there as well. But I think there is scope for him to have some sort of heel character. I'm not suggesting he needs a big stable necessarily, but I think this is all part of a bigger character change. It better be, because like you say, otherwise he's just getting buried for no bloody reason.
We'll have to be Mustafa Ali, Johnny Gargano, Ricochet himself, and probably others I'm forgetting at the moment that have proven that Triple H's favourite way to push babyfaces is by killing them first.
Yeah.
It's not a great habit to get into, ideally.
We'll break you down into dust, and then we'll build you up.
Austin Theory, another one. It's the idea of just that being the new way that people get pushed, I wouldn't necessarily support.
No.
Long term, anyway.
Well, good news coming from last night's Raw. The worst gimmick in wrestling's finally finished. Akira Tozawa is no longer a ninja. He has been a ninja for 890 days.
Oh, bro.
Michael Hamflett.
Yeah.
He adopted that character at Backlash 2020, if you remember.
With arms.
And who could forget it? But he appeared on last night's Raw looking a bit more like sort of Dragon Gate Tozawa. He had blonde hair. He was in red and white wrestling gear.
Yeah.
He was still in a bit of a wacky comedy character. He leapt into JBL's arms. He stole his hat. He basically was pissing the legend off to distract Baron Corbin, who then got nailed with the claymore for Drew McIntyre to get the victory in that match. But Tozawa is great and, don't get me wrong, throws himself into whatever he's given by WWE and has made the ninja character work. But I'm glad that we maybe just get to see Tozawa, I don't know, wrestle now.
Yeah, honestly, like the bin monster that swallowed the Street Profits at Backlash 2020 should have taken that gimmick with it on the night. How we found ourselves in that situation, I can only assume was yet another case of the worst excess of the pandemic. We had wrestlers fighting over eyes. It's things we don't want to revisit for you. It's the opposite of AEW, isn't it? Oh, I look back on that time really fondly. I never want to think about pandemic WWE ever again, and clearly nor do WWE, and this is just the latest thing they're trying to remove. I would pump the brakes on getting too excited that everything is randomly fixed. You know who else once ran around the ring in a bit of a caper, sat in the commentator's lap and even stole their headwear? Max Mini winding up Jerry the King Lawler during a Mini's match at Ground Zero in Yards, or indeed any match from that division in that era. This is a step forward, but in terms of progressive thoughts and how all wrestlers should be treated on television, it's still so many leaps backwards from where an Akira Tozawa needs to be. The ninja garb is gone, but the memories of him nearly being eaten by a shark remain and linger. Yeah. And booking like this are not exactly going to erase those overnight.
I think maybe it's because I was like, oh God, why is JBL on my screen? Oh, thank God, Akira Tozawa's here.
Oh, if it like ends up with him booting his head off rather than just taking his hat off,
yeah,
I think that'll be something that we can celebrate a little bit more.
Exactly.
Good news, the gi is gone.
Yes.
But there's a long way to go.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Right, let's finally conclude by talking about Triple H and his personal project. Can you guess which former NXT star he rather likes on the main roster?
Former NXT star?
Former NXT star.
I had Tiffany Stratton all lined up and everything.
Oh,
I don't know. Fill me in.
Finn Balor. Finn Balor is a, quote, reclamation project. Have I said that right? Yeah, yeah. I think so. For Triple H, now he is, you know, all powerful, basically. There's a joint report.
He's in the... In Judgment Day.
Yeah, as we all are here at What Culture.
Yeah,
it's a joint report that reports this from Give Me Sport and Wrestleverse. They've been teaming up quite a lot recently. Good little tag team. They work very well together. Balor and Levesque. Have always really liked each other. And Triple H has just looked on and gone, ah, when Vince used to just be like, I'll give Finn a bit of a push. No bollocks. He got injured in one match, and therefore he's tarnished in my eyes forever because... Vince was an idiot. Yes, he sees him as a reclamation project. They report saying Hunter has always believed in Finn. He always checked on him daily following that injury at SummerSlam 2016. And the duo have enjoyed a tight relationship throughout their shared time in WWE, even after Balor was called up from NXT. Look, I think Balor's doing great stuff with Judgment Day. He's always been someone that I think we always go, let's go,
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear something like this because this can be a comeback of, I don't know, Gareth Bale-esque comparisons.
Perhaps.
What's wrong, USA? Couldn't you score more than one goal?
You know, the comparison holds true as well because if you look at Finn Balor, he's older than he perhaps looks and he maybe hasn't got many of those big matches in him. So really, to find yourself falling short of a guy of his advancing years is really quite something. Anyway, no, it's good news. It's genuine, earnestly good news, this. And it speaks to... So Finn Balor is obviously set to wrestle AJ Styles on Saturday at Survivor Series, which again, like, is, can still be perceived as a dream match because people have very fond memories of the TLC 2017 match. He also worked the singles match against Edge at Extreme Rules that led to that incredible big finish. The match wasn't great, but the big finish was memorable and it certainly helped elevate the Judgment Day from where they already were. And he's obviously positioned as a big deal. So getting put in the big singles matches while being at the centre of this hot stable, to now hear this news supports this idea that, you know, wrestlers that seem to be positive influences can work in collaboration with management and can achieve.
Yes.
And it sends a good message, I think, to the rest of the locker room that no matter what stink might have been on you, that's not the case now. Triple H might put a brand new one on you, Mustafa Ali. But theoretically, if there was any stink that you worried about in the past, that is now gone.
Yeah, that's my only concern now. If Triple H goes, I really like this guy, let's build him up. But first, let's destroy him. Right, let's move on to your Twitter questions. At WhatCultureWWE, of course, you want to get in touch with us. First question today comes from Derek D-Rock Felix, who says, morning, gents. Jey Uso is definitely accidentally super-kicking Sammy in the War Games match. This could either cost the Bloodline the match and start the slow turn against Sammy, or KO becoming blind with rage and costing his team the match. Your thoughts? I thought I'd ask this because you've got a really interesting theory about what happens in War Games.
So I'm kind of married to this fantasy booking now because it existed before War Games did. I had this idea where there'll be Kevin Owens and Jey Uso brawling in one corner and Sami Zayn staring down that corner with a Huluva kick lined up, and which way does he go? And even if it looks as if he goes for, if he's going for Owens, Owens pulls Jey there anyway, and it's Sami hitting Jey, a flip of that, Sami hitting Jey with a Huluva kick and Jey being knocked out to cost the Bloodline the match, and then the aftermath being, well, we know what happened, but what was going to happen, and that where Roman might doubt Sammy's loyalty or things like that.
Because we had a bit of a, we talked about this on the SmackDown Review podcast, What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from. There was that little look as well from Roman the other day of like, are you the weak link in this?
Are you not Uso after all? Honorees. So yeah, anything that casts doubt on Sammy, but more importantly, of course, reminds you that Sammy and Kevin Owens' relationship is the real one.
Yes.
He's not an honorary Uso, he's a lifetime Steen and Jericho. Like, that's what really matters more in his life. So any play on that is going to be tremendous and gripping. And
it's the best storyline in wrestling.
I think it is. And I think the fact that we can all see where it's going is part of the fun. Even if these little details are different to what we project, the bigger picture feels very much in place.
Just Cody and Roman, Becky and Ronda, and Sammy and Kevin versus the Usos at WrestleMania.
Yes, please.
And I mean, and Stone Cold versus literally whoever. I don't care.
Anyone, not bothered. Not bothered at all. Not bothered in the slightest, actually. Whoever you like.
Second question today comes from Frank Lee Salinas, who says, morning, lads. With the history in War Games with Mia Yim, who's now called...
Meechin.
Wouldn't Nixon Newell be the best fit for the final person for Team Bianca at Survivor Series? Or will they go for the easy choice of Candice LeRae? So we mentioned this earlier. Different theories about who could be that final member. I don't know whether the fact it's been revealed on SmackDown has changed your thoughts on this or what.
A little bit. The mystery being left. If it remained that shadowy figure in the graphic for Saturday, I think anything other than Sasha Banks would scan as a disappointment, which makes me think it's not going to be her because they're revealing it on SmackDown. It's in Boston. There's still all the rumours swirling about Sasha Banks. We talked about a press conference as well. It just feels that would be the perfect move. Or it would, worse, it would disappoint if it wasn't her. So you risk kind of like alienating people in the building. With it being announced on SmackDown, I think Nixon Newell, Tegan Knox, for those that don't know, like...
Yeah, so I just realised I've said Mia Yim there, and I don't know why I said that. I meant Dakota Kai.
Dakota, yeah.
I just got my brain's all over the place.
But you know what? You know why that is? Because Dakota Kai took Mia Yim out of that match to get in to turn on. So there's War Games law. There's War Games law. Candice LeRae is undefeated in WWE canon War Games. In NXT, she was seen as this, and she's got like this past where she's worked very hard hitting matches before. And obviously, she only recently appeared as a victim of a damaged guttural beatdown. So maybe that could be the surprise comeback. Charlotte Flair, as Vince McMahon would say, is always lurking thereabouts in people's fantasy booking, and to bring her back as a unknown quantity as a babyface, can the team trust her? You know, that's the X factor. And of course, Beth Phoenix was laid out and flattened by Rhea Ripley, and Rhea Ripley on Raw was put over as kind of the difference maker on the heel team. So having her natural rival stepping in now,
I really like that,
would indeed, you know, make sense. I think it's a huge hook for SmackDown. Genuinely,
yeah,
I think
it's really exciting to see who's going to be. For me, my pick, none of those that you've mentioned, considering their history with not only members of the heel team, but also the War Games stipulation. I'm going with the bin that Io Shirai put on her head.
Yeah.
My favourite War Games spot, I think, ever.
It's up there, like.
It was one of the few bright spots in the pandemic for me. I'm like, maybe everything's going to be all right.
I love spotlights being cast on inanimate objects as well in the commentary. It's the bin! And like, Io Sky has to sell it. No!
The
lore of the bin.
Right, Scotty gives a final question today. Writing a non-MJF question, gents. Who from NXT and AEW Dark would benefit from a well-booked Best of Seven series? Ooh. Now, I'm a particular fan of NXT. Mm-hmm. So we're going to name quite a few here. I think Nathan Fraser.
Yes.
Would just add just for the fact I get to, would get to see him guaranteed seven, to, well, minimum four.
Just seen a mini one with Axiom as well.
Yeah.
Just seen them
so
do.
More of that.
Yeah.
But like him with Carmelo Hayes or Wesley, I would love to see. Stacks, obviously.
Naturally.
Or Tony D. But there's some great guys on AEW Dark. What's happened with our boy, Anthony Ogogo?
So Anthony Ogogo is currently making moves in Progress Wrestling.
I guess. Kicking
ass. He's kicking open the door for Beast Mode himself, Bayaki Fenway.
Having
failed to help Wickham get promoted in the playoffs of League One last season because of Mighty Sunderland. Breeze past them at Wembley 2-0. He has moved on into wrestling, and Anthony Ogogo's opened doors there. He was a sort of semi-regular feature on Dark and Declaration. He was doing commentary as well, repping the factory. He's cool as out, and to be honest, I think the time away, as much as he's really, really missed, anything away from that is only going to season him and bring him back better than ever. We hope sooner rather than later. I've got a guy that's kicking around on Dark and Dark Elevation at the moment. You probably won't have heard of him, right?
No.
So he's picking up wins. He's actually got a title outside of AEW, and they're allowing him to defend it on these shows. You heard it here first, so write this down right on the news. I kind of consider myself a bit of a tastemaker in these circles. Little known name called Daniel Garcia. Ever heard of him?
What's going on with him?
Don't know. Even we were surprised at the, you know, we can't pretend to catch every single minute of Dark and Dark Elevation, but even we were surprised this morning seeing just how much he's worked on Dark and Dark Elevation, considering he was withdrawn, seemingly, from a few that was about him.
I thought he was just injured.
Yeah, injury or just time off for other reasons, whatever it was. Sammy Guevara being dropped in is fine, because him and Jericho have got all this sort of previous relationship stuff. But the Blackpool Combat Club overlap was all about Garcia.
Yeah.
We witnessed Garcia having to make the choice and how much of that struggle was. And now he remains back on there. He's working tags. He's doing stuff with our boys, the former Ever-Rise 2.0.
Yes.
They're still all together. There's still Jericho Appreciation Society stuff happen. He is playing the character that we saw him established on television. And yet, I think the last time he worked on Dynamite was in October in the tag that they lost to the Blackpool Combat Club. So... what's that about? But Garcia's a tremendous best of seven wrestler. There's a wheelie, a legacy rivalry that would suit that as well. Just seeing them have this constant competitive energy between the pair. He's a guy I want more of, and he is the wrestler. Mm. He's one of the breakout wrestlers this year, so I don't know why he's fell down again.
Well, speaking of the best of seven series, the team that are currently competing in it, Young Bucks, are today's and finally, and this is presented without comment. Well, there may be some comments, but they have changed their bio on Twitter to Chicago. This'll be interesting. Dynamite emanating from Chicago this week. Not only was the FCM Punk chance at the pay-per-view, that was then reshared on Being the Elite. So that's going to be... Ironically, I haven't got a dog in this fight. And I'm just going to grab my popcorn on Wednesday night and go, well, let's see what happens.
Yeah, I just want to take a bite out of the action. Chicago, imagine there is obviously the timeline when none of this happens, and MJF celebrating his title win over CM Punk in Chicago would have really been quite something. This is a completely different type of gripping and unique. Am I saying that the Young Bucks should enter this time via kicking down a door that's been erected on the stage? Not for me to say. I don't think they're going to be unanimously booed or cheered.
Hmm.
John Moxley was getting cheers in Chicago before All Out. MJF was getting cheers upon his return, which CM Punk looked none too pleased about the fact that his own sort of his Chicagoans were able to at least support somebody else. So I don't think it's going to be as straightforward as they're the heels in CM Punk's town. I think there are, what we've learned from this whole experience is that AEW fans nationwide are very, 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 very loyal to the Elite at the expense of just about everything else, and you know, more power to them. So I think that split is going to be, well, a reason to watch. It's unmissable stuff on Wednesday.
Well, they need a reason to watch, judging by those recent ratings. Right, let's know your thoughts on that and everything in today's stories.
I wonder if I send comments on anything, actually.
Let's know your thoughts in the comments section. Like, share, subscribe, and chat to us on Twitter as well, at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. You can follow Andy H. Murray at Andy H. Murray. And the H stands for home, which is where football's coming. Because we thrashed Iran and he's not here to slag it off. Get in!
I was going to do the
soccer for our American fans who
score.
Didn't realize there was a second quarter, apparently. The team didn't show up in the third and fourth quarters.
I was going to do the score, but you can't do it without using two hands just to do ours.
That's too many hands.
You do ours and I'll do theirs. Six fingers up.
Hang on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, no. Six.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was a dodgy penalty. We should have gone to go. We probably tried 7-2, if anything. Right. He's never letting us do the news about himself, is he?
This was fun.
No, it was good. It was good while it lasted. Right, thanks for watching. We'll see you soon.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.